This is our monthly committee meetings, and we'll start off with property and services.
We're going to start off with, all due respect, we'd like to change the agenda a little bit. We're actually waiting on Rhonda Ward's second half of her party, and we have Chief Bowers here, and we'd rather have him out on the street, so we'd like to get him up here first. So if we could do management first, I would appreciate it.
That's fine.
With that in mind, then, the first order of business is the SRO contract. We've talked now for a while, many months, about placing a school resource officer at the Garden Spot campus. That person would be responsible for daily security measures, but also assist significantly in the administration's planning for emergencies. Some of the plans that we have in place, electronic plans, this individual would assist us in keeping them up to date, would also be responsible for attending trainings that we haven't had individuals going to, and keep us up to date and up to speed on what's the latest preventative measures that we can take in terms of security, as well as the reactive measures should the need arise. My apologies to the community members. There are two documents that the board has that I have not put on the public side of the website, nor will I, only because the contract details how we are planned to deploy the officer, and within that is embedded some security features that I'd rather not have public. If anyone wants a copy of that agreement, come see me. I'll redact some of that with a matching marker, and I can share it with you. But it's pretty standard kinds of contract agreements that we would have. But again, you know, times of day, those kinds of things are embedded in that. I'd rather not have that be public information. I did ask Chief Bowers to come here this evening in case there are any questions about how this will work. He was gracious enough with his time to be here. Keep in mind that we had initially budgeted $75,000 for this position. Part of that funding stream comes from the retirement of Mr. Ed Sprecher. Ed turned in his resignation letter to Mr. Ramsey today. So part of that funding will come from his position. And we also reduced an assistant principal position to a dean of students position at the high school, where we're finding some additional cash. That doesn't pay for the full freight, but it does pay for a big chunk of that $75,000. Now, here's the one change. The borough, after we've talked, estimates that it will cost $82,000, so there is a slight increase in the cost. But again, I would say that it's well worth having a police officer here on a daily basis. It's forming those relationships with kids, getting information with kids, like Mr. Sprecher was so able to do for us in the past, and prevent some students from getting themselves into some big trouble. So that police officer will be here prior to the school day and for some time after the school day, assisting with security. Are there any questions whatsoever for me or for Chief Bowers as he's here? The job description is part of your documentation that's online, again, that's not for public consumption. There are two documents there for board members, contract and a job description. Apologies to the community. We're still getting used to our electronic documents. Eventually, it's going to be more efficient and save money, but we're still... Absolutely, will be a uniformed officer, and it's interesting. The certain pieces of security waffle back and forth depending on most recent cases and things. One of the things that Chief Bowers and I talked about was having a marked police car on site. And initially, we thought, well, that, you know, police presence, good idea. But then my thought was, every time the car's not here, the kids will know the police officer's not here. So we've backed away from that. We'll see a car intermittently. Won't necessarily be a correlation between police car parked here and the officer on site. So we're doing little things, you know, based on the very latest data and and recommendations that we get from a variety of sources, including Secret Service. Good question.
I have a question. Since this is like a new endeavor for us, he's working for Chief Bowers, or he's working for us? I mean,
good question.
Can you kind of give me a little bit of a synopsis of how that's going
to work? Are contracting services from the New Holland Police Department. So the officer reports to Chief Bowers, although we have a nice relationship, we'll be able to give Chief Bowers feedback in terms of evaluations and those kinds of things. The officer is also on the New Holland Borough Police Department payroll, the raises they get, he would get, or she would get, et cetera. The officer who will be serving here, should you approve this, has been interviewed by not only Chief Bowers, but also the two secondary principals. We're interviewed by the secondary principals about three months ago. So we have we did have the administration involved in that.
Now, is he going to be campus wide, or he's just interviewed by the secondary principal?
Yeah, he will be able to be deployed to New Holland, but we did get some resistance from East Earl in terms of jurisdictional boundaries. And so he may show up at East Earl for helping assess security, those kinds of things. But if there's a student matter that requires a police intervention, we would be bound to call East Earl. So that's the case there. Brecknock is a big mystery because of the state police situation at Ephraim. So that's a complete mystery at this point of who we're supposed to call if there's a problem. We're thinking right now it'd be Lancaster Barracks, Don, but we don't even know that for sure. If there's a real emergency, I'm calling New Holland because they'll get there.
If I could say that I spoke to the new captain at the Lancaster Barracks, who happens to be local originally, and cooperation is assured on both ends there. If we do any program presentation at the elementary school there, that's not an issue. They welcome that. If the SRO comes upon a criminal matter there, we'll immediately contact the state police. If it's an immediate issue, we'll hold the scene. But they'll also gather information, just hand it over. Very similar to what we do now on borders with sheriff's state police.
And just a clarification, it's a contracted, so like we're not covering health care, all that's part of the package. That price is
We've negotiated that contract down to the detail of when he, because it's a he right now, but it could be a she at any time. When he can take vacation, all that kind of detail. And it is a contract that we or they can break, I think it's 60 days.
We have a pretty
liberal breakout should we need it for whatever. It's not working out financially.
I understand they wouldn't be scheduling vacations, but in the event that you have sickness or something, then you would have someone else to cover
Talked about that too. It's a good question, and I was hesitant just to say anyone can jump in because there is a relationship aspect of this. I think we've sort of agreed that if there's an extended time when the officer's going to be away, a more serious illness or whatever, we probably would work up a new fella or female. But on a day-to-day, his buddy's getting married, he's got to fly out of town on a Friday. We have that worked out that money can potentially come back per diem. All that's in the contract that you have in front of you. You can look at it for next week.
Sure. And I do know with where my office is located, I run into Judge Hartman, and he expressed that he's very much supportive that this is something that we definitely is needed. Just to pass that along. He wanted to make sure he was very supportive of that. So.
I would just say it's not just an insurance policy, although in many ways it is. But it's also, if we run it the way Ed Sprecher ran it, he became a father to many of the kids. He had really good relationships that helped kids and helped us help kids. And that's really what we're looking for in this position down the road.
All right, well, thanks, Chief, for coming out, and thank you. Were there
any comments, Don?
thank you very much for your time and your consideration. We just feel it's a win-win for the community and the school.
Thank you.
Let's be careful out there, Don. I've always wanted to say that. Hill Street.
Never heard that one before.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next item I have is just an the rest of my items are informational. There's some information regarding EITC 2.0. This is the legislation recently passed by the General Assembly that facilitates students migrating from public schools to other public schools or non-public schools. But there are some problems with the legislation. In fact, there's a number of problems with the legislation. And I want to highlight them to you. Essentially, what happens is students who are in low-performing schools, their parents have the ability to solicit other school districts or other non-public or parochial schools for their children to attend those schools. The first issue that comes to mind is other public schools have to be willing to take those students. And so far, that is not the case. I haven't seen any schools who have completed the paperwork to take students, and we won't be one of them either, and there's a good reason for that. I'll share that in a moment. The scholarship counts on businesses to create dollars for the students to make that trip from a school district to another school district. So let's use a real scenario. Peckway Valley has been identified. Their high school's been identified. You saw this in the paper about 2 weeks ago. They've been identified as a low-performing school. So the students who are of low socioeconomic means, their parents could request to come here if we would apply to receive them. One of the challenges is that the receiving school district, can't be discretionary about who we take. We have to take everybody. So theoretically, we could get very expensive students if they're, for example, special education students or students with other at-risk scenarios. So that automatically puts a lot of school districts' guard up, including ours. That's one issue. The second issue is how are those schools identified? For example, Peckway Valley was identified based on data that's 2 years old. In this past year, their scores rose significantly, their math and reading scores, which we're being told is how the decisions were made, although there's no list anywhere that you can look at to see how close you are, because I'm concerned about us, to be honest with you, our high school. I think we're floating around that low percentage. Theoretically speaking, if we would apply and say, yes, we'll take Peckway Valley students, they could come here and next year be in a high school that has the same problem. It would be us. The other issue that's not clear by the General Assembly is what happens if a student leaves a school such as Peckway Valley based on 2010-11 data and the following year, which would be this current year, this past year, makes AYP or makes the mark. Does the student have to go back? Who pays for it? Does the student get to stay and stay on scholarship money in the district that he or she moved to? There are a lot of unanswered questions. This legislation is a mess. I think of that old cartoon, Think Ahead, where they write think in big letters and their heads all squeezed together. That's what this is for the General Assembly. This is embarrassing. Bringing the senators in September, the superintendents are bringing the senators in to ask them if they know what this legislation really, how this legislation even functions. Because we can't figure out how that works. The other questions that go along with this, what happens to the scores of the student on PSSA? Do they get attributed back to the sending school district, or are now they a part of the new school district? And if those scores are low, does that then drag down the new school district? All of a sudden, the school that's sent, now scores go up because they're sending the students who are performing the lowest. It's a mess. So I guess what I'm saying is, while there's an opportunity to gain students and grow our district, and I'm comfortable with that at some point, I'm interested in doing that at some point, I don't think that this is the time, based on so many of unanswered questions created by the legislation. And I'm giving you that update because of several things. First of all, I don't think Peckway Valley is going to be on that list next year. We could be. I don't know that. I don't know that either way. And that the fact that there's just a lot of unanswered questions, and I'm not willing to put the district to sign up for this, and the sign-up date is this week, I believe. So that's the information on the EITC that we have so far. We're hoping to get more clear answers as this unfolds. Any questions?
I guess more of a comment than a question, but it just seems as if they're layering pieces of legislation on top of legislation on top of legislation that it's going to be impossible to function in.
I guess the cynical side of me says that this is an easy way for the general, an easier way for the General Assembly to funnel money to the non-pubs, because the transportation is an issue here too. The way they've set up transportation is based on the way we have to do transportation now. In other words, we have to transport students 10 miles outside of our school district to any non-public or private school. If for this, it only works, that only works for the non-pubs. So the receiving school has to provide transportation to the public school students. It doesn't make it attractive for the receiving school to say yes. So that tells me that they didn't want us to say yes. It's just another way to funnel money to the competitive schools. And I get the policy. I get the competition piece. I just want the playing field to be fair. That's all I want from the General Assembly. And I think they're stacking against us, continuously stacking against us. So there's just more questions than there are answers. Mr. Jones.
You say that the scholarship, the fee, the tuition would be paid for privately by businesses?
That's another piece. As I understand it, there's dollars available, there's $50 million available that Governor Corbett set aside. Companies get, I think, 75% reimbursement. I think, Ron, is that what it is? 75% reimbursement. So, first of all, you need company sponsors. And some of the most rural school districts who probably could benefit from this the most have the fewest companies to sponsor kids. So again, it just doesn't seem like there was a whole lot of thought all the way through what they're trying to do.
I would imagine that if I were a private school, an academy, a program school, I wouldn't take this where I get to choose. Right? There's, like you said, there's really no incentive to take it.
And I would say that based on the way some of the private schools are set up, and I can speak from experience, I attended a parochial school, they're not set up to handle certain types of kids, and therefore there's an automatic screening out of some of those kids. If I was a parent of a special education student, I would not send my kid to a Catholic school, and I'm Catholic, and I went to a program, but I know they're not capable of delivering services to special education kids. So, I try not to be cynical, but it sure doesn't stack up well. So that's my fun topic for tonight. Can we move on? Any other questions on? And as that evolves, we'll keep you updated, because if there is opportunity for the school district, we'll take it. If there's opportunity to help kids, we'll take it. But we've got to see a little more first.
So we're saying no for now. Is there an opportunity later?
Yes. Every February, you get the chance to resubmit the form that makes you a receiving school. The other thing is, this is all being done really fast. I mean, this was approved in July, and they want you to fill out the form, I think, by the 15th, which is this week. Yeah. So, any other questions? We'll keep going.
Is anybody else jumping in on the?
Nobody.
Not even private schools?
I haven't seen any. I'm assuming some private schools.
Yeah.
But again, you still have to find companies to fund. Now, my guess is there's some companies lining up for this, but I don't. I went on the website today, about 12 o'clock today, and there were no companies listed yet. So, and that's on the economic development website. DCED, Department of Vec, something. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate that.
Say it again.
Department of Community and Economic Development. There's a website that lists the participating companies or industries or businesses. Any other questions with that? Next topic that I have are board policies. We are seeking a first read on the 600 series. They, again, are attached at the bottom of my report, and they are public information for anyone who's interested. 600 series is there, that the financials. They have been vetted by our solicitor, by Mr. Ramsey, myself, and a subcommittee of the board. Additionally, there are several other policies that we're trying to rushing to for approval, again, in an omnibus bill this July. A number of policies were passed, such as concussion management, cardiac arrest, and then a related policy, the AED, CPR, related policies. We have to have these in place today. We actually have forms that we're handing out to the athletes who started today. So didn't give us a whole lot of time to get the policies together. These are stock policies from PSPA. They're first reads as well. We're going to implement the policy before you approve, because we have to, by law, make that information available to students and parents. But what we'll do is next month, and we'll have a second read at the first meeting, and then consider the second meeting of the month, the third read, and approve next month these policies. They're pretty straightforward. They make sense. There's actually not a whole lot of leeway or flexibility or choices that we get to make as a school district. So we should be able to move those along that fast.
That's those three, right? The concussion, the sudden cardiac, and the AED.
Correct. That is correct.
Not including the 6,000 series. That's different.
Now, the 600 series is different, but that, too, we should be able to do on a second and third read next month if everyone's comfortable. If we have a lot of pushback on those policies, we can push them back. But the subcommittee that met went through them in about 2 hours, and it's pretty straightforward, and it's a lot of what we do already. We've got good financial practice here. These policies are really for school districts that haven't had good financial practice and are ensuring that they get it, but we have.
GED, was that?
I'm just finding my papers. The last thing is an informational item. No need for approval, but we are hosting a GET program. Actually, the IU is hosting it in our space. We appreciate that. We had not planned to do that, but we're happy to do it. The class will begin September 25th and run to December 4th. Total of 20 classes for 40 instructional hours. Runs from 6:30 to 8:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The cost is $275. Does include the book, but not include the test. We're hoping that they can get enough folks to run. Not sure about how many students they need to run the course, but according to Mrs. Albertson, she didn't think it was too many before they could break even and run the event. So anything we can do to help out the community and our recent graduates or those students who failed to graduate, we're obligated to do, in my opinion. So we're happy to host this course, and again, that's just an informational item, no action required on your part.
Is there anything we can do to promote it or market it?
Simply talk it up. We have Mrs. Albertson is going to drop some flyers off. We have that we'll place in our schools where we typically post kinds of things like that. We also have had this information on our website under the community icon for a couple of weeks, so we are advertising it. And of course, our administrators are aware of it, so they know some students who could benefit. So word of mouth in this community works as good as anything, actually.
Yeah, it'd be great. You know, we get a good that's a good opportunity for people.
That concludes my report. Just one other comment. I just wanted to introduce Lindsay Sessions and Bobby Lee, who are manning the control tower over there. They are pinch hitting at the last minute. Nick got sick, and we're counting on John Steyer, and John Steyer had another appointment. So these guys got drafted, and we appreciate you being here, and hopefully, and you're doing a much better job than Nick does. So. Maybe you get the job permanently. You got to be careful.
They're a lot quieter. We didn't even know they were there.
We didn't know they were here. So that concludes my report. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Are we going back to property and services?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Ramsey.
Now that the team has arrived, the complete team, we're ready to go. We have several action items this evening. The first action item is approval of parameter resolutions for the refunding of the 2007 and 2008 bond issues and new money for the Brecknock Elementary School project. This evening we have Rhonda Lord with Cagle, Kellen, Olmey & Lord and Lauren Eby with RBC Capital Markets. They're going to go over the details of the issues and answer any questions that you may have. I think everyone should have the parameter resolutions in front of you, and I think Lauren has some to hand out. If you'd like, I can hand them out for you.
My name is Lauren Eby, and thank you very much, first of all, for accommodating my schedule tonight. I always enjoy coming back here, especially being in this room. It was like right about there was where I sat every period. First period was where we had chorus. So community holding here now, that's great. But it's always fun to come back, and the school looks beautiful, so I commend you all, first of all, on an amazing job with that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Could
yes.
you, could you
oh, sure.
just because we do record.
So. Okay. Is that better? In front of you tonight are several items. First of all, if you want to take a look at the horizontally placed papers in front of you that have the logos on the front, I'm going to go through, first of all, kind of what we're talking about tonight and the resolutions that are in front of you, which will be passed formally, I believe, next week, Monday. Tonight, we're just looking to go over them with you and answer any questions you might have about them. If you want to turn to the first page, this is kind of something we always like to share with you at a meeting at first glance, just to give you an idea of what your current debt situation is. The district has four series of bonds currently outstanding in the amounts that are listed here. These are the gross debt service figures. So this is the amount the district pays before any sort of reimbursement comes back from the state in the form of PlanCon reimbursement, which your administration and your architect and us goes through in order to get you the reimbursable dollars from the state for your new construction projects. The two series of bonds that we're going to be looking at this evening for refunding opportunities is the series of 2007 and 2008. They have rates listed there on them as well as call dates, one of which is callable this year, one of which is callable in the beginning of next year. The 2007 is having the earliest possible call date, so that's the one we're going to speak about first. Page 2 then just shows you what your debt looks like after you've received the subsidy from the state on your debt. So you're at about $2.7 million a year for the next 3 years, and then you drop down to about 2.6. You have relatively level debt out through 2022 when your debt begins to fall off, and it's totally gone after 2023. So you have a pretty short debt portfolio, debt profile, and you'll see how we can wrap around the new issue for the Brecknock renovations and additions, how we can wrap that around your existing debt profile, and I'll get to that after we talk about the refunding. So let's skip over page 3 for just a second, and let's go to page 4. Page 4 is a summary of the two refunding opportunities that we're here to talk to you about tonight. The first one on the top is the 2007 series. There's about $9 million left on that series of bonds. The average rate is about 3.8%, so it sounds pretty great. We can actually do a little better for you, I think, right now. The last maturity of that is in 2019, and we can call those bonds December of this year. which means we could set up an escrow anytime beginning about September 1st and thereafter and call the bonds on December, on we set up an escrow on September 1st to call them beginning on 12-1 of this year. So we really have some time flexibility here in the next couple months. And even if we don't get the call date immediately on December 1st, we can still call it anytime after that with 30 days notice. What we show you then in the two side-by-side scenarios are, basically, if we were to refund those today and settle on October 1st, you would save, with current market rates, about $674,000 on just that series of bonds. That is net of all cost of issuance. So that is money back to the district. Now, that is not before any plan con reimbursement. And on the 2007 bonds, the state does take about 28 cents on the dollar. So 71% of that would come back to you. And that's 7.4% savings. That's a huge target. A lot of boards are setting targets of about 2% right now. So 7% is a huge number, just to put that in perspective for you. And if we were to wait to the call date of 12-1, your savings would be about $700,000 because you wouldn't have an escrow to set up. You wouldn't have any negative arbitrage on that escrow. So your savings would be a little greater, assuming that rates didn't move between now and then. The timing that we're looking at right now, it would be to settle this series of bonds before the end of the school year. I'm sorry, before the end of the calendar year, to take advantage of the bank qualification limit. Issuers such as yourselves are allowed to issue up to $10 million a year. And if you issue $10 million or below, banks and other financial institutions can buy your bonds, basically, and receive a subsidy, an interest, a tax subsidy or a tax break on those bonds. Therefore, they can pass on lower rates to you. So the benefit to issuing these series of bonds yet this year is that you still have that. You haven't issued any bonds this year. You've got your full $10 million. We're going to be issuing something less than $10 million to refund these bonds so we can take advantage of that bank-qualified limit. What we look at doing then in the beginning of next year, because you have some new capital project financing needs of about $6 million, is tying in a financing together of the new money for Bretna and the refunding of the 2008 bonds, which is shown at the bottom of page four, I'm sorry. There's only about $4 million left on that issue. It's a much smaller issue, it's a shorter issue, and it has lower rates, only 3.2%. So the savings on those isn't going to be as great as the 2007 bonds, but because we can look at doing that in conjunction with the new money financing for Bretna, realize some economies of scale, avoid duplicate issuance costs, lump them in together, and still, for your 2013 calendar year, stay beneath that $10 million bank qualified limit, because once the calendar turns, you have a new $10 million to work with. You can issue $10 million or less and still get those bank qualified rates for 2013. So this is sort of the financing plan that we've talked to your administration and your bond council about, and that's what we will be showing you tonight in terms of resolutions and bond purchase agreements. If you want to flip back then to page three talks about the new money financing. These are schedules that we've come out with many times before here, but I'll just give you a quick overview of what we're looking at. We're looking at borrowing approximately $6 million for Bretna. We assume some current interest rates plus a contingency of 75 basis points. We don't know where rates are going to be between now and spring of next year when we look to do this financing. And as I said, we were looking to do this as a wraparound financing. If you look at the column that is the header of Series 2013, $6 million, you'll see that the debt service is basically level at about $200,000 and then it jumps up out in 2023 and 2024. We are allowed to structure the principal of your financings in any way, as long as it fits within parameters set forth by DCED in terms of level or declining debt service. We can set up the principal of your bonds to amortize in the way that most closely fits with the board's and the district's desires for debt and debt service levels. We did a wraparound basis here because your debt is relatively short. You're out of debt in about 10 years. We can take advantage of historically low bond interest rates, and we can go out there in 2023 and 2024 and basically backload all of the principal there, therefore wrapping around, in essence, all of the debt service that you currently have in place. Therefore, you only have to go up a very minimal millage amount. by deferring that principal to the end. That's the structure that we've looked at with your board or with your administration, and it seems to be definitely the most economic, advantageous manner in which to finance them, not at this point in time. The last several pages, and then I'll take questions if you have any, speak specifically to the first issue we would look at doing here in 2012, which would be the refinancing of the 2007 bonds. This is just more of a detailed breakdown of how that would work. Page 5 shows you in detail the debt service associated with the $9,015,000 left on the 2007 bonds, the corresponding coupons, which are the interest rates, and the interest then expense that spins off. Page 6 then shows that we would need to fund an escrow of $9,187,000 in order to refund the 2007 bonds. Page 7 then shows how we would finance about $9.3 million in new bonds. We would pay off the old bonds. We would pay all costs of issuance, which would include underwriting fees, legal fees, rating fees, advertising fees, bond printing fees, all the fees that are associated with doing a transaction like this. Those fees are all taken into account then when we look at the savings. Page 8 shows you what your new debt service would look like. But page 9 is what we're really interested in. The savings would accrue over 2 years, about $485,000 in the first year, about $200,000 in the second year. And like I said, that is net of all fees. So that is bottom line dollars to the district prior to plan account reimbursement. So before we move forward, and I pass the mic off to Ms. Lord, is there anything I can talk to more specifically on the new financing or the refundings or the mechanics?
A couple of questions.
Sure.
This is news to me. So
okay.
You're saying that we're going to refinance in 2007, and that would be paid off by 2019 based upon what you're showing us on page.
Yes. That is the current amortization of it. It currently goes out to, if you look at page five shows you what the 2007 bonds look like as is.
Okay, so we're allowed to refinance, but that doesn't include the $10 million that we're going to issue new bonds, is it?
This is the $10 million for this year, and it'll be below $10 million. Right now we're estimating it's going to be about $9.3
million.
Okay. So that is the, we will issue new bonds in order to call in all of those old bonds.
So we're doing this one first?
Yes.
2007 first?
Yes.
That $10 million this year, mm-hmm. And then January we're talking about going another $10 million for the 2008 bonds, plus then the $6 million.
That's correct. In aggregate, it would be $10 million.
And all that then, based upon page 3, you're showing being off our books by 2024.
That's correct. We're not extending the term on the 2007 or the 2008 bonds. The only extension of the term of your bonds will be the new financing for Brecknock, and that will take your debt out another year and a half following.
Yeah. And the debt service per year stays fairly similar throughout the entire length as well. So,
that's correct.
The what's our current rating?
AA.
AA. And what would be the impact? Because I know there has been a school district that lost their AA rating. What kind of impact would that have if it happened after we did this?
It happens after the financing. No impact on the financing itself.
When you're
the bondholders take all risk upon themselves when they purchase your bonds. So we will go through the rating process in anticipation of doing these issues, and that would happen sometime in the next probably month to 2 months. So S&P or Moody's would take a look at the district's finances. They'd have a chat with your administration. But the last time we were in the market was 2010. So you have a relatively recent rating, and I see no reason why it should change.
Feeling good, too, about that.
AA is very strong.
Right. What would be the impact, though, to a school district like that lost their AA rating?
If you were looking to access the market and you lost your AA, depends on how many notches you were downgraded. You're in a fortunate position where with your AA rating, you do not need to purchase, or it doesn't make economic sense for you to purchase bond insurance. something you've probably purchased in the past.
We need to move around, jump, do some jumping. Right there we go. Thank you.
That's great.
That's how we keep our rating.
were we videotaping this? Can we show that to SMB? They'll love that. But the effect for a district is if they were trying to access the markets, the lower the rating, the higher the rates that investors will demand in order to buy your bonds.
Sure.
And it's hard to quantify that exactly, you know, if you were a AA, if you were an A-plus school district, you'd probably have to buy bond insurance. That would, you know, cost you another probably 10 basis points overall impact, and then the rates themselves might not even be as good, so it might be, you know, 25, 50 basis point swing just by having a two-notch downgrade.
That's good.
What's the mean level of debt within the school districts?
I would say, I mean, that is something I can look into. It's constantly changing because every district is in the market. I would say you're probably on the low end. You only have four issues left, and eyeballing it, in principle, you probably have 30-ish million, I would say, outstanding. I would have to look at it. You know, I don't want to give you a proper quote here, but I would say that within the county, we would be right in the middle and maybe on the low to middle end of total debt outstanding.
Lauren, would that be hard to get?
No, I can do that quite easily.
If you could report that to Kate, we'll
report
it back next week.
Yep.
Keith, quick question for you. Looking at 2010, there's not any thought of refinancing anything beyond. We're pretty much sticking with what our plan is now.
Historically has been our debt carry?
What's that?
Historically, like a 10-year picture of what our annual debt rate is.
Your debt service? I don't have schedules going back farther. Mr. Ramsey, we've been right around this level. I mean, since we financed back in 2010, we've been kind of right around this level.
Yeah, correct. Our last issue that we did was 2001 for new money, and then we've been at that level, and then we did have some new money for the Garden Spot project. But, you know, we've been right around this area for quite some time.
Have we always had bond issues out? Has there been a historical time when we had them?
I think Ken's first bond, Ken Phillips, who is my partner, his first bond issue was for, actually I think it was his second, was in 1981, and that was for the original Brecknock. So you've had bonds at least that long.
Keep in mind, too, Mr. Jones, that at one point the board chose to use cash for a large renovation, too. So that sort of throws the whole sort of bond issue off and spent. $10 million maybe in reserve funds. So that sort of is going to throw it off too.
I think our highest was around 11% of budget in terms of debt. And that was a while back, and now we're at like 6-9%.
Any other questions?
Just one comment from me, and this is a compliment to Lauren Eby. Lauren is also volunteering her services at her alma mater on our foundation board. She has agreed to be a member of that board in the second class, our second group that we're bringing in, and so she's joining that team. So thank you, and thank you publicly for that.
Looking forward
appreciate
to
it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Around the board, we'll go over the resolution and then the
Pledge
of Allegiance.
Of you two different resolutions. One of them, if you look in the top right-hand corner, one of them says 3-8 in little numbers at the very end, and the other one is 3-5. The 3-8 resolution they are the one, this is the bond issue to refund the 2007 bond issue. The 3-5 resolution is for the 2013 bonds to refund the 2008 bonds and to refund the money for the Breckenhoff Elementary School. These are both parameters resolutions. You'll probably remember most recently from the Career Technology Center, where we gave you some parameter resolutions for the bond issue. What that means is they are higher in amount, both for the general amount to be issued, the interest rates we put in here. It's all parameters so that we can have this done, assuming you approve these resolutions next week. We can file them with DCED, get you approved at the rates that are in these parameters resolutions, and then just keep them outstanding until the time when RBC says, now's the time to do the refunding. When that happens, then if you look in each resolution, there's a limitation, and this is really the most important part in Section 7, which says that the bonds will not actually be issued until approved by the Chief of Finance and Operations, Mr. Ramsey, and as long as they comply with the terms of this agreement and the savings, which is authorized in this resolution. In each resolution, we have a savings of $100,000 minimum amount. So what that clause means is, until Keith Ramsey says, yes, these are good, we're going to go ahead and proceed, these resolutions are just outstanding. Once we sign off on the different series of bonds, we will then file with DCED an update showing the amount of actual bonds that you issued with the interest rates, and put everything with DCED so they have the appropriate information at that time. But these resolutions just give you the authority to issue the debt for the purposes of refunding the 2007 bonds, the 2008 bonds, and the new money in an amount. We have 13,465,000 for the 2013 bonds and 10,470,000 for the 2012 bonds. Again, we don't anticipate them to be that high, but this just gives the RBC enough room to figure out the best financing options for you. So with that, I'm not going to go through each of these clauses. They do contain all the necessary provisions for DCED. We've been through those quite a few times with this board, and they're just technical provisions that need to be in there for the debt act. But if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now.
Any questions on the
Our hope is that tonight we're just presenting this to you for information purposes. Next week at your board meeting, you're going to vote on the resolutions.
On the resolutions, but not on the signing?
Not on the signing. But once you approve the resolutions, he's authorized in these resolutions to go ahead and sign them when the terms are appropriate.
Sounds good. Any other questions at all on the bonds or the resolution? Thanks for coming out.
Between now and next Monday, if you have any questions, feel free to email us. Rhonda and Lauren are not planning on being here next week because they were here this evening with a lot of the questions and answers and discussion. So if you do have questions or concerns or comments, email them to me and I'll see that I get them answered for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, moving on to our next action items. This is the time of year that we approve our non-public transportation contracts for the following school year, and also approve the drivers listing for both Brightville and our non-public contractors. Item 1.2 is the non-public transportation contracts. These contracts typically increase by the cost of the transportation index formula that PDE generates, which is 3%, and based on if there's an increased number of students, that may fluctuate based on the number of students being transported. If you recall, we are trying to get all of our non-public contractors within the same cost per student. You'll see that Hinkletown Mennonite, they are locked in at the $4 per student per day until the formula catches up. Right now it's at 3.81 per student per day. And if you look at Weavertown, we're looking at trying to bring them up to be comparable to the others. So that's a phase in as well. You do have that spreadsheet, board members, for your review. Any questions on that motion?
Actually, I do have a quick question for you. I'm not familiar with it, but I read about Semico contracting with a bunch of their residents because it's such a large area.
Yes.
And it worked for them. Is that something that would work for us? We have a large area as well.
It's something that we could look into if we'd like to go down that avenue. I think they've worked out pretty well with what they've done with that. I don't know if Dr. Hollister, through the superintendent's advisory council, they have those discussions. But it's something that we could definitely look into.
Yeah, it's on our radar. We're kind of waiting to see how they do with it. The other thing is we can't be assured that their transportation system is set up the same way as ours. So I'm not sure that we would see the same benefits, but it's on the deck for analysis.
Any other questions at all? Moving on to 1.3, that's the listing of the drivers. Board members do have a listing of all the drivers. It's pretty much pretty standard each year at this time. Item 1.4, as you recall, last year, 11-12, we moved from the New Holland Family Medical Center to Orthopedic Associates of Lancaster to have a physician attend all of our football games. Previous to Orthopedic Associates, we were being charged $125 per hour per game that a doctor, a physician was in attendance. With Orthopedic Associates of Lancaster, we are not being charged by them. All we're doing is putting a sign at no charge for them up in our stadium. They also have some additional services that we're able to, as a supervising physician for athletic trainer, that they're able to sign off on some of his documents. So we again would like to enter into the agreement with Orthopedic Associates and to authorize myself to sign it once it's finalized.
I'm just curious, is that like PIAA that we have to have a doctor for football but like not soccer or baseball? Like what makes football different? Like, you know, the soccer guys can get into a bunch of trouble for work. Basketball's gotten to be kind of a contact sport, you know. I'm just curious.
It's a good question I don't know the answer to. We'll try and find out for next week.
Any other questions on that? The next action item, 1.5, we participate in the insurance pool, employee health care cooperative with other Lancaster County school districts for health insurance. We have negotiated an agreement with the Health Assurance, who is our TPA, or third-party administrator. I did execute the agreement, so I'm asking you to ratify my signing of the agreement. As you can see, the amendment decreased the administrative services fee from $29.58 to $26.49 per employee per month. It also continues a wellness credit in the total amount of $5,000. They provide us up to $5,000 for wellness initiatives that we do here at the district. Last year, they helped us support some of the costs with the health risk assessment that was completed by our staff. This year, we're looking at working with the New Holland Rec for some wellness work fit programs that they're going to utilize this money to help offset those costs. The subrogation fee, that would be if they would go after to try to get money back on our behalf, was increased by 1%. And post-termination service fees, if we would ever leave them and go with somebody else, they increase those fees by $1 per employee per month. So minimal increase. The big adjustment was in the administrative services fee. That's about $17,000 reduction per year. And then continue the wellness credit. Is there support in what districts are doing from a wellness perspective? Item 1.6, we just had to sign and get over to Brecknock Township and Lancaster County Planning Commission for our land development application. So I actually met in Jim Hocker's office from with Dirk and Edson the end of last week to sign the documents so we could get them over to get the ball rolling, get the process started. So I just would like for you to ratify my signing of those documents. Any questions on the action items at all? Moving to the information item.
Yeah, do you have an expected start date yet? Or?
For Brecknock?
Right.
We're looking at about March to April of 2013 for the start date.
Keep in mind, we'll have bids back before that. Again, the board will have an opportunity to say go, no go, if you really need to, for whatever reason. We expect bids to go out.
They're going to go out this fall, and with bid opening, I think it's late November, early December, and then we can have them in front of the board for discussion. That's the temporary schedule at this time. It kind of changes every day, but that's the most recent timeline. Information items, as you recall, as we previously reported, we were looking at the UGI agreement, where they planned on increasing the district's current rate from 250 per MCF to 425 per MCF, which would have been a total per year increase of just under $14,000. We joined forces with other districts in the IU as well as Allentown School District. And we, as you know, we retained the services of Eckerd Siemens to help negotiate negotiations with a new contract. We settled with them. They're looking at not getting to completely the 425, but phasing an increase to 325 for this current year, and then 395 for 13-14. The total estimated savings over that two-year period is just over $10,300. So as you recall, our fee maximum exposure was about $900 to enter in the agreement with Eckerd Siemens for the negotiations. So we were able to save well in excess of that. So. Pretty much. I mean, with the, they pretty much can set the rates any way they want. You know, they felt that, you know, they were losing money, if you will, to 250, where their going rate was 425, and they pretty much can set their price. And this was for those that had interruptible service, which we do. That they were pretty hard to deal with, pretty hard to negotiate with. They pretty much wanted to stand firm. Based on the great service with Eckerd Siemens, we were negotiating. But,
What buildings are serviced? Just this campus is serviced by them?
Correct, the high school, middle school here. Yep. And we are getting, in the near future, hopefully, gas service to Blue Ball Elementary School. So we'll be able to put them onto this the service. And we're also, as you know, planning to have dual fuel systems at Brecknock. So if and when ever get gas out there, we can tap right in and provide that as well. Anything you want to add on that, Neil, or did I cover it pretty well?
Except, we had the same discussion in 1999 about Blue Ball, the gas trains on the boilers, and now it'll be the ability to finish their distribution hub.
Is that actually happening?
Oh, yeah. They said if you go down beside Chatham Maple, we were checking it out last week, they had told us when they finished that distribution hub, they're stopping at the church. Where the main line comes from, I don't know. We wouldn't have far to go.
That ends my report, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other questions board members have on anything on the property and services? I guess then we'll go to program committee.
Good evening. As with the property and services committee report, program committee action items this month are approval of contracts. The first is an agreement with Links to Care, and it authorizes me to sign three contracts with Links to Care for nursing services. The cost is $40 per hour during the school day for the 12-13 school year. That's for students that require nursing services with them per their IEPs. Our next one, 2.2, is an agreement with the Ephrata Area School District. What we are going to be doing is contracting with them for their Ephrata High School Washington campus, five slots at $5,300 per seat. We have the option for additional slots as needed and available. We do use our Elanco online when possible, but for those students that have made choices that require them to be removed from this setting, this option with Ephrata High School is a good option for us. And so this year they are opening seats to other districts, and we used to be working with them before, and now with this new program we'll be doing so again.
Well, what was the issue, though? We had to switch from there a couple years ago.
Yes, they had to close down their program because the rules and regulations had changed, so they just shut it down and restarted it again, built it up, became a new program. There's a lot of different things in place now that helps it become in line with requirements for a different type of educational setting.
How does that impact the program we started?
We still have that program if necessary, though we've moved it more in line with Elanco Online, so it really runs together. Ours we use for credit recovery. For those students that do require a modified schedule or a different type of instruction, we do that as well. This would be mostly for those students that really can't be here.
So they actually go on campus?
Yes. Yes. And they have three sessions like they did before. They have one in the morning for 4 hours, one in the afternoon for 4 hours, and then one in the evening for 4 hours.
It's also a more structured environment for kids. There are some kids who were not successful in our like online program, and they would be the kinds of kids we would want to send here.
Any other questions about that?
It's good to see it. Good to see it being available as another option for the students.
2.3 is an agreement with Physicians Alliance Limited, that's Dr. Kathleen Kreider, to provide physician services to the Garden Spot campus in New Holland Elementary. We, for a very long time, had a contract with New Holland Family Practice, and they gave us notice that they would no longer be interested in renewing that contract. So over the summer, I looked for a new provider, and Dr. Kreider, who is aligned with Physicians Alliance, agreed to do so. So there's a contract out to them now that we will have to sign if and when it comes back, which I expect it to be back shortly.
Who has blue ball?
Dr. Strangarini. Any questions? And then the final agreement or contracts that will need to be signed when they come back is to approve the superintendent to sign contracts with school districts for special education services. The slots that we provide to other districts, we contract with the districts, and we have a contract that's signed by the superintendent of the sending school district and also by Dr. Hollister, and we do that yearly. Any questions on any of the action items? And then we have one information item. Dr. Hitchcock left one curricular area not quite completed when she left, but it was very, very close, and it really wasn't her that didn't have it completed. The teachers were working on it over the summer. So the information item this month is the language arts curriculum, 7th and 8th grade. As with all the other curriculums, this curriculum was aligned to the language arts new PA Common Core standards for reading, writing, and math, and also aligned with the PA assessment anchors and eligible content for 7th and 8th grade. And I have a copy of the curriculum and sample units if you would like to look at them. That will be an action item in September. Any questions for the program committee? That ends my report.
Okay, thank you. Very good. And I guess any general announcements?
Just one. Board members, you're invited to the opening session and ceremony that we have every year. There's a breakfast on Wednesday the 22nd, beginning about 7:30. You're welcome to dine with teachers. And this year we've invited all support staff members to attend as well and to attend the opening session. I think the message is really important that we all hear together. The opening session will begin about 8:30 with some general announcements that last till about 9 o'clock, and then I will be making a presentation for about an hour and a half to close to 2 hours with a break in there. You're welcome to attend any or all that you can possibly make. We'd welcome you there if possible. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It's always a nice time, especially if you can just make the breakfast. That'd be great. Any other board members have any announcements? Or?
We are gearing up. We have support staff members in training this week. Teachers are in training this week. Bus drivers report tomorrow. We'll be talking to them. So it's go time.
I heard the drums while we were meeting. The band is practicing. You say the athletics started today?
Started today as well.
So it's close.
Yeah, school's open for business.
Yes, close. All right, thanks. Do we have a
motion to
adjourn now?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.